You're listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar podcast, talking all things fundraising, charities, nonprofits, and more. Here's your host, as always, Simon Scriver.
Imagine you are driving down the street in the middle of the night. You're in the middle of the country, you're going through some little windy roads. The moon lights the path ahead of you, hanging like a slice of lemon in the sky. Up ahead, you see a strange image. A man with a white head of hair, strange looking face, pierced nose. And what's that he's holding? A microwave. Do you pick him up? That man would be Dermot McCleary, who I have as a guest today on this podcast, a good friend of mine, Dermot. But you're very welcome today. How are you?
Simon, how are you? I'm awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
And you're always awesome.
That was a really great description.
Was it accurate?
I think it's rather accurate, yeah.
Okay. Dermot, you've always got a lovely, charming disposition compared to me, which is why I think this campaign that we're going to talk about fits so nicely. You are also known as the Microwave Express.
Yeah, so the Microwave Express is sort of like my second life. I'm trying to carry a microwave around the world. So I'm doing it to fundraise for various charities.
Yeah.
So what I do is I try and get around different countries with no money carrying a microwave. So I'm not allowed to have any money or food, and I have to just carry this microwave around from A to B, relying totally on the kindness of strangers.
A full-size microwave.
It's a full-size microwave.
Are they heavy?
It's rather heavy. It's a few kilograms. So what I did was I carried it for a few days, and yeah, it hurt me so bad that I took out the battery. So I took out...
That's cheating.
I took out... It's still rather heavy because I've got a backpack, and the backpack's like over 10 kg. And so what I did is I took out the battery and I put in a speaker, a portable speaker inside the microwave.
Oh, yeah?
So I can kind of get it to talk and play music. So I use that to kind of break the social barriers.
That's clever.
So it scares children and it really like excites people because they always ask me, they always come to me and ask, what's that about?
Yeah.
And I found it so much better. When people come to you and ask you a question, it's so much easier for you to come back and ask them for help. Ask them for food or a donation or stuff like that.
I mean, I imagine it's pretty eye-catching, someone driving down a road and they see you with your thumb out and they're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, so like I'd say like there must be about 50,000 cars have passed me so far. So a lot of the time it's very hit and miss whether people stop or not. In Ireland, it was relatively easy enough. Like people would stop after, like I usually had to wait a few hours and I'd definitely get a lift.
Yeah.
But sometimes people would stop and then they'd realize I was holding a microwave, then they'd drive off. So I one time, like in the middle of a storm, like someone had stopped and I just like, I kind of hid the microwave. Then I picked it up and was walking over and they sped off.
I mean, that would scare the shit out of me if I saw someone hiding a microwave and then it comes out. It's like, what are you going to do with that microwave?
It wasn't really hiding. It was just behind my backpack.
Yeah.
Like some, they couldn't see that I had it. So they drove off. It's very hit and miss.
Yeah.
I remember like a few times where like students in particular, younger people, have drove by me on the motorway or drove by me in different places and then drove the whole way around to come back to pick me up because they were just so interested to see what I had.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I know like if I'm driving and you see a hitchhiker and it's only like a couple minutes later, you're like, actually, maybe I should have gone back. Maybe I should go back and maybe I should pick them up. So let's rewind. When did this come about? So this is last year. You did it for the first time around Ireland. Yeah. And then you did one around Scotland. Yeah. How did it start?
So I was working for DIT, Students Union, and I was doing a lot of fundraising. So we were doing all sorts of fundraising. We were doing skydives, ab seals, sleep outs, dancing for 10 hours, head shaves. We're doing basically everything in the fundraisers kind of playbook.
Yeah, all the usual stuff.
The usual stuff.
Yeah.
But I had a group of students and they were always trying to push each other to see who would do more. And to lead by example, I was just trying to think of something that would really encourage them.
Yeah.
So one of our jobs was to supply microwaves to students. So we used to, our students union used to get loads of microwaves, supply them to students, leave them in the common area. And the students would break them. They'd break every single microwave. Nobody would clean them. And they would just keep overusing them. And if we put warning signs and stuff on them, they didn't care. They just ignored
fucking
it.
Students.
So they blew up this microwave. So it was a dead microwave, and what happened was it got put into my office. I don't know how. I just came in one day and it was in my office for several months. So I was basically sharing the office with it, and we'd always be brainstorming in the room. So I'd get students in and we'd brainstorm about stuff we could do in different campaigns.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I'd read a book about a guy who went around Ireland with a fridge.
Tony Hawk. Yeah.
In the 1980s. And I always thought, it's such an incredible book. Like,
yeah, it's great.
I always thought, like, what if he actually did that for charity? What if he used that kind of platform for charity?
Yeah.
So I just basically told everybody the next day I was going to hitchhike around Ireland. And within like 2 weeks later, I just left.
Yeah.
With this microwave.
That quick turnaround, very little prep.
No prep at all. And everybody thought I was absolutely insane. And people told me that.
You are.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit crazy. People told me, oh, you're never going to get picked up. This is never going to work.
Yeah.
It's so dangerous. Why are you being so silly and all this? But
yeah.
You know, you have to sometimes be crazy, do crazy stuff to accomplish it.
That's what makes it interesting, doesn't it? I mean, and that Tony Hawk book, that's like 30 years old now plus. So I imagine there was a feeling, well, does hitchhiking still work? Do you still get picked up?
A lot of people would say that it has changed a lot.
Yeah.
People are a lot less trusting.
Mm-hmm.
So I sometimes at the start, my trip wasn't really well published. So it got very hard to get lifts.
Mm-hmm.
So then I realized I had to really get the media on board. So I was like targeting different media, just emailing them, ringing, getting friends to ring.
Yeah.
Asking them to appeal to local people to pick me up.
Yeah.
And that really helps. So
people almost seeking you out because they'd seen you somewhere else or heard about you somewhere else?
They weren't really seeking me out, but people drove by me and said, oh, I heard you on Today FM.
Yeah.
I heard you on TV3. I heard you on this. So they're like, I just thought I'd pick you up just to see how you're doing.
Yeah.
So that kind of became a way for me to get a lift and get started.
And who were you raising money for?
So the first time I was hitchhiking, I was raising money for Jigsaw.
Yeah.
So Jigsaw is a youth mental health charity that helps people, young people between 12 and 25.
Lovely.
So in DIT Students Union, I particularly decided to take it upon myself to do a lot of fundraising.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, it wasn't really part of my job, but I just kind of did it because I think we should as young students.
Yeah.
So Jigsaw were doing a lot of free counselling in our school, and they never asked for anything. And our guidance counsellors like were kind of overwhelmed by the amount of students, so Jigsaw kind of stepped in and took a lot of that off.
Okay.
So we thought we'd try and raise enough money to support them, like to see if we're trying to raise enough money to kind of give back basically to them.
Nice.
Yeah, it started off with Jigsaw, and then. Yeah, from there, now we're just on this mad path of the charities kind of find me rather than I find them.
Yeah, I can imagine. They've seen it succeeded and they want a piece of it.
Yeah, so the first one was, our first event was I could only get 2 weeks off work. So my microwave trip was my 2 weeks holiday.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of did it as, it wasn't part of my job. I just did it because I thought it'd be cool to do. And so I did that in only 12 days. I managed to go around 32 counties of Ireland.
You got to every county?
In 32 days.
Wow.
So I did not know. I was just rushing around the clock to try and get back home as fast as possible because I needed to get back to work. But if I can hindsight, one of the things I would have done it over like a month, maybe a lot more.
Yeah.
Because I found that every day that I was doing it, I was raising a lot more money.
Okay.
So in 12 days, I raised about €2,750.
And because you'd only started publicizing it, not even 2 weeks beforehand.
Yeah, so I started publicizing it. So it was a real learning experience that the longer you do this and the harder you make it, is the more people kind of donate.
Okay.
And the more publicity generates more donations. And yeah, that was like the start of my learning experience.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was incredible. It got featured on TV3 in the morning show. It got on different channels. Which is covered by TG Cahir. It's covered by about 15 radio stations. So I think like what was more valuable to the charity was actually the exposure rather than the donations.
Yeah.
So it got so much publicity for the charity in nearly every county in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, so we nearly got local radio stations and national newspapers that I think the exposure was a lot more valuable.
Because Jigsaw work all over, don't they?
They work all over Ireland, basically. Yeah. So they have a lot of centres. They can't remember the exact figure.
Yeah.
They have centres everywhere. So I think it was just really good about getting the message out there.
Yeah.
So it was about mental health. And then the byproduct of that was that I was getting tons of messages every day from people being like, oh my God, this is amazing. Or people who were like suffering from depression were messaging me saying like, oh, this made me smile and stuff.
Wow.
So it's really nice that something so crazy as this can have a positive impact.
Was there ever a kind of an overwhelming feeling that these people are watching you or getting in touch, people who are going through stuff? And
I know from my training in the Students' Union that I'm a signpost. So if we ever get queries and stuff, I actually don't answer them. I just tell them, you should probably talk to this charity. You should probably talk to this person.
Yeah, nice.
So sometimes you get some questions and stuff, but you just, as long as you know how to respond,
yeah,
that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. I remember one day after it was featured on the Irish Independent,
yeah,
this viral article like had thousands of shares. I just woke up and I had hundreds of messages and I couldn't reply to them because my battery was going off and they were just mad messages. Some of them were like, come stay with us. I must have got offered accommodation everywhere.
Yeah, where did you sleep? You're not booking into places because you're not spending any money. Where are you sleeping?
So I was sleeping with random families. So like the first night I left was the one I was panicking the most because I didn't think anyone was going to let me stay.
Yeah.
So I went to Sligo with nowhere to stay. And I had messaged all the hostels and all, and they all said no, basically. Some of them didn't reply, but some of them replied going, great idea, but no.
Yeah.
So I was kind of banking on meeting someone in the town. But then a friend of a friend knew somebody who lived there. This family actually like thought it was so funny. And they're originally from Monaghan, where I'm from.
Okay.
So this guy I'd never met before, I'd never met his family, came in and collected me and took me out to his house and let me stay in his house in the cottage in the mountain. And it was just so bizarre that they took me in and gave me food.
Yeah.
We just shared stories. And his wife works as a mental health nurse. So
yeah, so they're connected. Yeah.
They let me stay with their family, like their kids and stuff. And I just came in and really kind of entertained the family. So I got the microwave to talk to the children and they were like freaking out laughing. And then once I had proof of concept that this works.
Yeah, someone else has already done it.
More families were reaching out to me and more people were like, you can come and stay with me. You're obviously not that bad. If they said you're okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, every night I didn't have somewhere to stay. That was kind of my struggle. It was kind of every day I'd go to a new county, but I wouldn't really put that much effort in.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of go off the generosity of people. I wanted to create a sense of urgency, really.
Yeah.
So people would like try and help you.
What was the backup plan if you didn't get someone, just sleep on the street?
So I had like two or three coats with me. So I had like one big high-vis jacket and I had some waterproof trousers.
Yeah.
So I've been doing a lot of different events and festivals for years.
Yeah, sure, you're well used
grand. To... I'll sleep outside somewhere.
Yeah.
It almost happened a few times, but every time somebody came and saved the day.
Yeah.
Just through social media, through Facebook and Instagram, like there was like maybe like 2,000 people who were following me on Instagram every day who were like watching the stories, and they would contact somebody or they'd ring a local hotel.
Amazing. People are good, aren't they? I mean, we get a tough time as humans, but actually people are good. I remember from my New Zealand days, hitchhiking around and couch surfing, and just these strangers giving me not even a couch, but a bed. Every time I slept in a bed, not on the floor or anything, people just opened up their homes, made you dinner. People are good, aren't they?
There's really bad, I think it's obviously the media perception of stranger danger and stuff like that there. So a lot of people are scared of you.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who aren't.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the general perception. Like a lot when I was saying to you and I told people I was going to do this, they're like, nobody's going to let you stay because they wouldn't host somebody.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that anybody else wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we need to be careful and take care of yourself. But if we do that, there is good stuff happening. And when you put yourself out there, good things happen.
Yeah.
Was it a good thing? I mean, this is your annual leave. This is your holiday. Was it a good holiday?
I don't know about calling it a holiday. Yeah. I don't think it was, I don't think it was relaxing enough to be a holiday.
Yeah.
I call it more of an endurance test of the mind and body.
Yeah.
Like several times I'd be walking for miles carrying all this weight.
Yeah, really?
And I remember like not being able to shower for like 2 days and then sometimes I find myself left out in the cold.
Okay.
Particularly people warned me about not going to Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But like that's not fit. That's not fun. So I said that I was going to do every county.
Yeah.
Ireland and the South.
26
so
plus
I see 6. Why they warned me. Northern Ireland was very hard. It's a different landscape.
Yeah.
Hitchhiking is not popular there.
It's very, very recent history.
And I went to some of the probably most areas affected by it. So I ended up like in country roads off like Fermanagh, and I ended up just stuck for hours. I remember one night I was stuck until the middle of the night in the rain, had no food, nothing, batteries dying. And that was probably the worst night I've ever had.
Yeah.
Where like when you're wet and you've nowhere to go. And I tried calling into some places, but they were just there. I think they're scared of me. Like,
yeah.
So I actually just kept walking up a rural road, probably just out of like necessity to keep moving. And that night I was there 5 or 6 hours, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, I think.
Mm-hmm.
and I'd kind of given up. So I was going to sleep under a tree. And I just felt this little tap, and this little Brazilian child was standing beside me. He was only about six. And he's like, my mom said you can get in the car with us. So they had drove by me that day.
Oh, wow.
That day they drove by me going to visit somebody, and they couldn't believe I was still there.
Oh, my God.
So they said in Brazil they would never stop for somebody, but they just stopped for me because they didn't know what was going to happen to me. So they took me and drove me for like an hour, and then I found somewhere to stay. And by the time I got to the other house, I was so bad with the flu that I couldn't even talk. I was just coughing and sputtering, and like I was just on the floor in their house, and it was disgusting.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the people who I was staying with, and they were kind of a bit wary about it. They just let in a stranger who's really sick.
Yeah. Jeez. So that's not a holiday at all.
I think it was a holiday. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you did it a second time. So you went to Scotland and you did basically the same thing in Scotland. Like,
I kind of thought I'd do it around Ireland and, you know, that was it.
Yeah.
I'd go on with my life. then after that, I'd always get asked about fundraising. So different people would ask me or message me and ask me to meet up and stuff.
Okay.
They kind of thought that I had some sort of like, I was some sort of expert or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like totally not the right person to talk to.
Yeah.
But then, particularly a few months ago, there's one mother who had a really sick daughter. See, she needed a cancer treatment that was going to cost like 100,000 euro plus. So she put out an appeal online on the media, and it was like, mother fundraising for a daughter is trying to come up with ideas for charity.
Okay.
So I like wrote her a big massive email about all these things she could do. And then I looked on her website and seen that she'd done all of them, and she'd been fundraising for like 10 years.
Oh God.
So I was just thinking that was so sad. And someone tagged me in the post and was like, you should do something with your microwave.
Yeah.
On Facebook. And I kind of just took it, and I was like, yeah, I should.
Wow.
So like, I just like the next day I was like, I emailed them saying, I'm going to try and go around the country and I'll try and raise a few thousand euro for you.
Yeah.
Or at least you like kind of the story will be funny and you might laugh about it and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Something.
So then I emailed her mother, and her mother just didn't get it at the start. She was just like, are you okay? And then she just wished me luck. And then, yeah, I just kind of left Ireland a few weeks later.
Yeah. And how was Scotland different from Ireland? The people and the experience?
The experiences were, they're mad. Like, they're just, it's just so bizarre. It's a lot of like bad, dodgy memories, like of different things, but like I tend not to publicize them or concentrate on the positive stuff. But like a few times I ended up just stuck, no lifts.
Okay.
And there's a big religious divide in different parts of Scotland. And I think I experienced a bit of that. So I would be like, my family would have been Catholics from Monaghan, Northern Ireland, so my accent would really stand out.
Yeah.
So I remember like talking a few different times in different places in Scotland, and people would be like, what? So I remember getting abuse on the street one time from the gang of guys, and I was just so surprised. I was like, I was trying to explain to them what I was doing, and they just didn't care. They're like, we don't want to talk to you. What are you doing in our place?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the sort of thing. But
that's right. Because I mean, I've only known you a few years, but you're such a like open, welcoming guy. You give everyone the time of day. It must be hard to.
It was hard. It was tough. Like a few different times. I remember one time, like I got an abuse several times in one day. And then I was standing outside the place and a guy bumped into me.
Yeah.
So it was three guys, and I presume they were homeless, or they might have been. They just looked like they'd spent a lot of time on the streets.
Sure.
And they seemed to be maybe having some experiences with some stimulants or something, but they came over to me and told me
very politely put down.
They told me and said to me that it looked like I stole the microwave out of their granny's kitchen and they wanted to take it off me.
Fuck.
So I thought it was a joke at the start, and then they wouldn't leave, and they were kind of grabbing it. And I was like, why do you want this microwave?
Yeah.
So they were the kind of experiences that were absolutely bizarre.
Would you be devastated if someone kidnapped your microwave?
They wouldn't get it. They like,
well, would you fight to the death?
They would try, like, so like I opened it up so I could hold it with my fist, like, so.
Oh yeah.
If somebody tried to grab it, like they would probably have to, they'd want to be strong.
Because it's the same microwave from the two trips, was it?
Yeah, it's the same one. So basically what I'm doing is I get like famous people to sign it.
Nice.
I try and kind of build a bit of publicity around it. So
yeah,
I've gotten a few Irish celebrities like Ryan Tuberty and Ronan Keaton, O'Donnell.
Ronan Keaton and Daniel O'Donnell signed it?
Ray Darcy. I've gotten about maybe 20, 30 celebrities have all signed it.
Oh, nice.
So then people wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, auction it off and we'll put it in our bar.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe I might do that, but I might try and actually get more exposure for it. And turn it into a bit of an item.
Nice.
A bit of history. So at the minute, like I was saying, I'm trying to get different celebrities to sign it. So like I put up Instagram polls and people send me suggestions.
Okay.
So that's how I interact with a lot of these people and why they keep following me when I'm not on the trip.
Nice.
They send in suggestions, and the biggest one has been Conor McGregor. Okay. So I've been trying for about 6 months to get Conor McGregor, and I haven't got any sort of reply.
Yeah.
I've went through like a lot of different people and different things.
But he's on your hit list. You want him to sign that microwave.
I've found out where he is.
I loved what you're doing, because I mean you could have a marketing background. You work in events and a bit of marketing. You know your stuff. I loved what you were doing with your social media, where you were posting when people made donations. You were posting their names next to the microwave. Yeah. What other kind of ways were you trying to connect people with the microwave?
So I was it was very hard posting names, because I had to get paper and pens, and every time it got wet, the paper would get wet, and I had to get new paper. So sometimes I didn't do that, and I just had to write messages. But I always thanked everybody, acknowledged them.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes people were giving me €100 or £100, and it was like a big donation.
Yeah.
So what I did was to fundraise that I put up challenges. So I put up things that people wanted me to do.
Okay.
So I took it surfing. I went in the sea because I told people I couldn't swim, so like hot jump into the water. And then one person was like, "Oh, you should like contact businesses." So I cleaned windows in different places, and they made a donation.
Yeah,
I worked in the place for a few hours.
Okay.
And then the most popular one I kept getting was get a tattoo. So it was get a tattoo of a microwave while I was in Scotland.
You didn't, did you?
And I had to do it. Like it had like had like 1,000+ votes.
You got
to because like over like 1,000 people had taken time out of their day to get a tattoo. Yes, get a tattoo.
So sorry, say that again. You got a microwave tattoo.
Yeah.
Where on your body?
I got it on the back of my leg. I don't want to move around too much here.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
It's basically.
Damn it! It's showing.
Showing you the tattoo.
That's nice.
So to get the tattoo, I had to find a place that was going to give me the tattoo for free.
Yeah.
So a lot of my days were spent like walking around to different places and asking.
Yeah.
So I went on a computer and just emailed like 20 places.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one place wrote back, "This is amazing. Yes. Come in right away."
Yeah. Really?
So from that morning to that evening, I walked away getting a free tattoo, and the place, like, they loved it because they were just posting about it, how mad it was.
Yeah. It's good for their coverage. It's, yeah. You know, you're giving them something back.
Yeah. It got featured in newspapers afterwards. So like a lot of these places, they would offer you stuff, but they knew that I would like mention their place afterwards.
Yeah.
So they're loving it.
That's amazing.
So I live streamed the tattoo, and the tattoo got me like €700 donations.
Yeah.
So every time I do something like this, like it just kind of peaks up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So by risking your life, nearly drowning, by getting a tattoo, yeah, each of those spikes the interest.
So what I'd be looking to do if I do more trips is to do one every day, or do more.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what really gets people interested. If they play a part in deciding what you do, they are invested in it. And when they're invested in it, they will go out of their way, they'll donate.
Nice.
Because I noticed a lot of people who are donating were people who just randomly found me on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they were like, a lot of them were like broke poor students who I know like are like 18, 19, they're going to college.
Yeah.
It wasn't like older people who were donating like fivers here, fivers there.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that's amazing.
Yeah. So opening it up to the public, letting them get kind of invested in it, or having their say in it, it connects them to you.
Yeah, it connects them to you and gets them interested, and they kind of want it. They're happy. Like they're happy to see you, to follow you every day.
Yeah.
And people messaging is like, "I've been watching you every day. This has been so much fun." And
that's then lovely.
When I ended the last trip, people were like, "Oh, I wish it was going on more and stuff."
Yeah.
And then when I did finish the Scotland one, so Scotland one was absolutely bizarre because I got to the top of the country, and it was like, it was a bit of a struggle getting up because hitchhiking isn't as popular as people say it was.
Okay.
So I went into the John O'Groats is the highest point in the UK.
Yeah.
So I cycled in a 3-person bike with another guy who randomly seen me and thought, "Oh, do you want to come and cycle my bike, tandem bike?"
Yeah.
While I was on the phone to the BBC on one of the biggest shows on the BBC. So they were like talking to me as I was cycling in. It was just incredible. It was one of them experiences. And then that was Scotland done. And as soon as we finished it, people were at meshing. It was like, "Oh, when's the next one?"
Yeah, you're not going to do it again, are you?
And then, I just thought, right, this is going well. So I did Scotland in 12 days, Ireland 12 days. I would have spent a lot more time fundraising in Scotland, but I had to get back for another reason.
Yeah.
So, I just decided not to get a job again. So I'm doing it. I'm working for myself.
Yeah.
But the whole point of what I'm doing now is spending the next few months preparing for the next trip.
What is the next trip?
So I'm going to try and go for a few months in the UK.
With the microwave?
I'm going to try and visit everywhere in the UK.
With the microwave?
With the microwave. and with a new, I'm going to let people decide on the charity and stuff, and I'm just going to see how far we can take it.
Fuck. So you're going to get all over the UK down to Land's End and
see how far we can take it. So at the minute, like, I'm actually realizing that this is going to probably be the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally. So I'm actually trying to get like sponsors on board and people to help me instead of just winging it. Might actually make a map or something.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do a route anytime. I just kind of did thought that would hold me back.
Well, you're kind of dictated by the hit, who picks you up, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just like, they were going to a certain place and I was like, I'll go there.
Yeah.
And that actually ended up not working out for me, especially up near the top of Scotland, because John O'Groats, remember, is one of the most popular places for charities to do fundraising events. So people will cycle from the bottom of the UK to the top. So they are, the last few years, they are used to people coming and asking for stuff for free.
Okay.
They're businesses and they need to survive and they can't be doing that. So when I came up there, I didn't know this, thinking I was going to, I'll be fine.
Yeah, no one comes up here, they'll easily get stuff.
And it was the most polite rejections of a lot of places.
Yeah.
They were just like, I'm so sorry, we can't help you. This is like the 100th request we got this week.
I can imagine.
So that was a bit of a learning experience. So every time I do the trip, I'm getting more streetwise.
Yeah, I can imagine you're getting better and better.
Yeah.
So you're looking for people who can give you a lift around the UK. You're looking for people who have a bed or a couch for you.
More looking for people who have connections in the UK who can help you in certain ways, because that's how it works.
If
I don't have people on Facebook or Instagram who are kind of, or LinkedIn, who are contacting their friends, I would get in serious trouble. But it's the whole concept of not knowing where you're going is what gets other people to donate and gets them excited.
Yeah.
So my main thing, is just trying to contact people who can help me.
Yeah. Well, you're a connected guy. I mean, we met at an event, a few years ago, but you know a lot of people, and you're good at meeting people, you're good at talking to people, aren't you? You put yourself out there a lot, is always the impression I get.
That's all well and good in Ireland.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about a rural area of the UK,
where
I'm going into places where I don't know a single person,
sure.
It will literally, whether you find someone to sleep or whether you have a bed, will depend on if someone tags someone on Facebook or if how many people are watching the trip.
Yeah.
So I really need to kind of build a following.
Yeah.
And to build a following, people have to be entertained. At the end of the day, what I'm doing is entertainment for some people.
Yeah.
But it's also hopefully going to raise a lot of money for different causes and exposure.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like I'm putting myself in this bizarre situation for other people's amusement, but it also, like can do a lot of positive good.
Yeah, well, you are. Not only are you raising money for these good charities, but you're also, you're entertaining me, you're entertaining lots of people, and you're making some pretty cool connections.
Yeah, so I've just basically decided that the whole structure of a normal life just doesn't appeal to me. So I thought that I was just going to try and see how far I can take the microwave around the world.
Yeah, so this is your life now.
I wouldn't say it's my life, but it's sort of like a big part of it.
Yeah.
Where I've kind of like stopped kind of focusing on the future and more focusing on these trips.
That's nice.
And see where they can go. Like, I've had a lot of people who've told me to go to America.
Okay.
I've had like a guy offering, one guy offered to be my manager to kind of help me go to America.
Oh, yeah.
With people saying you should go into the St. Patrick's Day parade. I'm just looking at where to go next and what to do. And I don't even know what I'm doing, really.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
Just kind of going with the flow. But I just kind of believe that there's things always find me.
Yeah.
So once you're doing stuff like this, like I get random messages every week from various people and stuff, and it's amazing. Look, either looking for help or coming up with ideas or wanting to do fundraisers.
Yeah, just trying to reach out to another human. A friend of mine says you have to put yourself out there so good things can happen. And I really think that's really strong. And
like from this, like good things have happened to me from this.
Yeah.
So like I done like storytelling events about this before, and then someone like, you should come and work for my charity. Or someone else was like, you should come and do a talk at my school and college. And from that, I got some small jobs that basically kind of allowed me to keep doing this.
Nice.
Just part-time, like once-off jobs from people hearing you speaking at an event, or because I just do them all for free. So like people are like, when you come and talk, I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
If you want to hear what I have to say, I would make her my way to go and talk to you.
Yeah, that's nice.
So like I did the RDS last week to about 1,000 teenagers 2 weeks ago to seminar.
Yeah.
It's all fourth year students. And like,
fuck, is that the right message to put you in front of them and
I,
say?
So I have different kind of talks I do.
Yeah.
So like for this one, I would be very, it'd be very PC, and it would be very like not about encouraging people to do this. It's about telling them why I did this, and
nice.
More about like the whole mental health aspect with youth.
Yeah.
Oh, you should talk and this is it. But my message was not, was definitely not do this.
Drop out and travel around with
an inanimate
object.
You know, but yeah, I think I got a really good response to that afterwards.
Yeah.
Different people reaching out and saying that they helped me with my next trip. So
that's nice.
It's just about doing more and more fundraising events and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Meeting people.
Have you decided who you're fundraising for next time in the UK?
I haven't yet. I tend to, it falls into place for me.
Like yeah,
the first one, Jigsaw one, kind of fell into place because it was the charity in my college.
Mm-hmm.
The next one came to me on Facebook. I've had a few different people message me suggesting stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to pick it yet. I might do it online, something online.
Yeah.
Or like something that's relevant or happens at the time.
Yeah. Well, you'll know when it's right, won't you? You'll know.
You think that you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's particularly a charity that you can actually make a big difference in, because like the will, like the media attention I got in Scotland alone was three times in the BBC, on like live on BBC, the biggest show in Scotland. I got into two newspaper spreads in some of Scotland's papers, and about maybe 10, 15 different blogs, shares on Facebook. And all the time, like my key thing is that you have to mention the charity and you have to like talk about it. And a lot of them did.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that kind of platform. It's like using your platform for something good rather than just being like, oh, I ended up at a mad, like crazy rave in Scotland.
Yeah.
But I'm also fundraising for this.
Yeah, yeah. You got to remember what the purpose of it, what you're trying to get people to do.
Yeah. And it's about promoting that positive message. As I say, like, I like don't post a lot of the stuff online that happens to me. Don't post the negative stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't post anything to do with alcohol or anything. If anybody ever offers you a drink and stuff, I just kind of focus away from that.
Yeah.
And keep it to this clean, positive message.
Yeah.
Not to encourage people similar copycat things for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, you got to be careful. I mean, there's kids looking at what you're saying, and people who are not in a great place and things like that.
Maybe a lot of the people watching will be younger as well.
Yeah.
So like,
you're a role model now.
I don't know about that, but
your microwave is a role model.
I don't know. I'm kind of stuttering now because I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah, you don't have to. I'm curious where would be on your list of places to go. You're talking about the UK, talking about the US. Anywhere else that would be a must-do for you one day down the road?
I'm going to focus particularly on English-speaking countries first. But I actually have a vision of trying to do more, trying to do harder and crazier places.
Mm-hmm.
But the language barrier might be a problem.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to do is do the UK. I think if I did America, like I could raise like a phenomenal amount of money. I know different people who have like different connections to Irish groups in America.
Yeah.
So I think like that could be huge.
Oh my God. The Americans would love you.
People told me like you would be welcomed so easy, but the climate would destroy me.
Yeah.
But I'm also looking at places like Australia and New Zealand.
Lovely.
And Europe. And there's different trips like the Camino.
Yeah.
And the Route 66 and stuff like that there. So
yeah.
Actually looked into doing the Camino as like a mini trip and stuff like that.
A mini trip, the Camino.
Like just a short one over like a week or something.
With the microwave.
Yeah, just about making it hard, making the effort in.
Yeah.
And like from that, it's been like doing events while you're carrying, like doing a run while you're carrying it, or climbing like a mountain while you're doing it. It's just the struggle. It's more about the thing where people would never dream of doing it themselves.
Yeah.
So like they'll donate to you like.
That's good. Yeah, that's interesting. You're pushing yourself so others don't necessarily have to, but they still get a chance to be a part of it.
Yeah, they get to part of it and they get to like sign the microwave, but they don't have to do anything really.
Yeah.
Or donate or maybe share something.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's, the future, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just looking to do something positive with your life. Like.
Yeah, one step at a time.
Yeah.
So next step is the UK. You'll be going presumably into Wales. Will you get the boat across to Holyhead, or what do you do?
So Centreline have been really good to me. So they paid for my last trip over, and they gave me food, and they were like amazing.
Yeah.
So they operate routes to Wales and Liverpool, I think. So I might get back in contact with them.
Yeah, nice.
And then I don't really know. I think I'm just going to do it with posting online and letting people decide.
Sure.
So where do I start? Put up three options.
Yeah,
but I'd be hoping to like hit one of the Paddy's Day parades anyway.
Nice.
I think that could be like a big thing.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, but if people want to make suggestions, it's all really on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. So this is early next year. You're talking March, maybe in February. You're going
late February, March.
Yeah. Okay. So anyone who's listening, I'll have a think who I know who can put you up around the UK. And nice one. So where can people keep track of you? Where can they offer you a bed if they want to get in touch with you?
So I have a website. It's called themicrowaveexpress.com.
Of course it is.
It wasn't hard to buy that domain name. And a lot of these things, like my website and a lot of my costs, I just fund these myself. Like,
okay.
I'd fund them out of my job. So I have that. And then I'd have my Instagram, The Microwave Express, Facebook, The Microwave Express.
Yeah.
But if people go onto them and look through them, like, they will get some really funny stories. Like, yeah. Get some videos of a surfing microwave journey band, and you'll get to read through a lot of different stories. People tell me, like, I found your page, and then I spend like an hour reading through it.
Yeah, this is something that I think we can all learn from you, is the way that you're engaging people with your videos and your photos. I saw one video where you were doing a talk at the USI. I think it was the USI, and you were getting the microwave to talk. And someone objected because the microwave wasn't a member.
That was one of the particularly funniest videos. Like, that story has like spread everywhere.
Yeah.
And that was the video to launch my trip.
That was really good.
So I went up knowing that I was going to cause chaos.
Yeah.
But I knew it would get me publicity.
That's very good.
So I might have got like basically kicked off stage, but you know.
You got to do it.
Got me somewhere to stay.
Yeah, it worked for the Beatles. And then the other one I saw which jumped out at me was your microwave blowing away.
Oh yeah. So when you were saying the trip's hard, this was probably the hardest day I had.
Yeah.
So Storm Alley, I think it was. I was in Scotland for Storm Alley, and I had left the place I was staying in that morning not knowing the storm was happening.
Yeah.
I just thought it was very windy. So I knew I had to walk like say 7 or 8 miles outside the city to go to the motorway where I could hitchhike.
Yeah.
Because no one would pick you up in the city. So I was thinking, oh, it's gonna take me like 3 hours maybe. And the storm was there, and it might have taken me like 6 hours. So once I was going through, the wind was so strong, it kept blowing me over. At one point, it blew the microwave out of my hand and almost onto the motorway. So like, I knew people wouldn't believe me.
Yeah.
So I did it at Cane. I held the microwave down.
Yeah.
And I didn't touch it. I just filmed a video of how strong the wind was.
Yeah.
Had the power to, it was full of stuff as well, had the power to blow it on its own.
Yeah.
So then I ended up just really, really wet. And someone took pity on me, and I ended up getting a lift to Edinburgh in the storm.
Yeah.
After maybe 8 or 9 hours.
God, your poor microwave. I feel really sorry for it. Have you named it?
It doesn't have a name.
No, not yet.
I haven't really decided, but a lot of things is the storms wipe away a lot of the signatures.
Okay.
So I've lost a lot of them. So someone like Daniel Donalds is gone and stuff like that.
So we have to find a way to keep them dry.
Yeah, and one thing I actually forgot to mention to you that really, really people loved.
Yeah.
Was that I would put suggestions for people of what to do. And one of the things that came to me was from a man who said, you should get Daniel O'Donnell to sign your microwave. So my entire mission in Ireland became not get around Ireland, it was find Daniel O'Donnell. So Daniel O'Donnell, for anybody who's not Irish, is like an Irish kind of like folklore legend. He's this like country singer. He's really popular with mothers
and grannies.
But like he'd be hard enough to get in contact with.
Yeah.
So he ends up like calling like maybe like 15 different hotels he played in.
Yeah.
And someone gave me the direct number of his manager, and then I just said this, and then someone else told me where he was.
Jeez.
And I stalked him and went outside for him all day and got him to sign it. And when I got him to sign it, the reaction was just so positive.
Yeah.
People loved it. I have this amazing photo of him looking really shocked, looking at me and me holding the microwave. He just doesn't know what to
just
do.
Just baffled by his microwave. The microwave. That's amazing. So, yeah. Well, you're a good man at rising to the challenge. I love that. That's great.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens in the UK. Hopefully we survive. You know, I'm going to try and do a bit of physical training maybe.
Yeah. Get in shape for this one.
Yeah. I started running. So I started doing about 40 miles a week. Like
with the microwave?
No, I'm going to go into that in January. So I wanted to kind of get, I'm not very physically fit in any way at all. So I'm probably going to start doing that like 2 months in advance.
Nice. All right.
But the minute it's just running around, like, but yeah, I walked around before my Scotland trip a few times holding it, and in Dublin, and I did get some very bizarre looks. Some people kind of knew what I was doing.
They're yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why are you still holding this? Like,
yeah, get over it.
I'm just getting used to holding it, like my muscles and stuff.
Yeah, the microwave carrying muscles are a unique muscle that's rarely used.
Yeah, they're very like bizarre, but yeah, it does really hurt you. Like, it can really hurt your back.
Yeah, I can imagine.
A lot of back pain after it. So I think that's probably because I have no strength at all.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, take care of yourself. I'll definitely be watching the Microwave Express to see what happens. I'll be helping where I can, and I hope everyone else will. That's it, Dermot. Thanks a million for your time.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
Good. It's always fun to see
you. Love you all. if you ever want to chat, just give me a buzz.
Yeah, reach out to the Microwave Express. So again, Facebook and Instagram, search for the Microwave Express, and then the microwaveexpress.com will have all your latest antics.
Yeah, I'll have my Conor McGregor, like a small mini thing kicking off like next week, I think.
Yeah, so if anyone knows Conor McGregor,
yeah, get on it. Yeah, if anyone knows him, tell him I'm coming for him.
All right, thanks a million for your time. That's it. Look after yourself.
You've been listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and head over to changefundraising.com to learn more or get in touch with Simon. Or don't, whatever, you're big enough to make your own decisions.
Hello, this is Morgan Freeman. For discounts on Simon's best-selling online fundraising courses, go to www.changefundraising.com/training and use coupon code podcast. Complete them in your own time, wherever you want. Get busy living or get busy buying.